You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, a gambling scandal in professional sports. Every single team exposed right here on this program. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. You don't want to miss it. Plus, real Halloween potions and elixirs brewed up in your kitchen with stuff you already have in the cupboards. And a visit to the world's scariest graveyards. Oh, and a very cool mashup of Halloween and Oktoberfest. Sound like fun? Let's meet the friends. If you have $2 and a ham sandwich, he'll follow you anywhere. It's Chris Martin.
Phil, there's a battle out there between carnivores and herbivores, and the leaf eaters just took the lead.
All right, I guess all the all the herbivores are out marching around because they're not in the studio today. By the way, if you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a five-star review, whether you eat meat or not. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks over at iTunes, while they're drinking kale tea, they read your comments and notice your five-star reviews. And don't forget, subscribe. Let's get things started. Chris, you've piqued my interest now, this battle of the meat eaters and the plant eaters. It doesn't seem to end. And where does it stand today? Are we keeping score?
We are keeping score. If you want to call keeping score, what you're going to do, if you're going to keep score between being a meat eater or being a vegetarian, you'd have to say which one poses the most health risks, right? That's the loser.
Sure.
So now we have one side showing significantly more health risks. This actually happened yesterday. The World Health Organization released a report which placed processed meats like bacon and sausage, things we all love so much, on the list of carcinogenics, which is the same place that you'll find like cigarettes and asbestos.
Yeah.
All that stuff that will rot out your lungs and kill you early.
Yeah.
So there you go. World Health Organization puts that out there. Report says that as little as 2 slices of bacon will increase your chances of getting colorectal cancer by as much as 18%.
Wait a
minute. Colorectal is a bowel.
Yeah.
Cancer.
Who said this?
Yeah. Who said that? It's exactly right.
You know, I think it's a lot of baloney.
Well, baloney will give you colorectal cancer.
Yeah. It will?
Yes.
Yeah, but probably a lot of other things will too. I mean, there's a lot of bad things about vegetables.
Not that have carcinogenics in it. Unless you have vegetables and fruits that are sprayed with a bunch of pesticides or things that you shouldn't be ingesting or probably shouldn't be sprayed on fruit. It's not even close, according to the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
And it's quite a gap between the two. Not even a gap. Look, meat is not good for you, according to the World Health Organization. There's nothing wrong with vegetables. And now here's the thing. Vegetarians all over the world are sounding off. Of course, they're beating their drum. They might even be rubbing it in the faces of us meat eaters.
What's the matter with them? Well, say, you know what? Eat what you want to eat and leave me alone.
Right. And they would say the same thing to meat eaters, right? Eat what you want to eat and leave us alone. Do meat eaters not make fun of vegetarians for not eating meat?
Yeah. Of course. Well, sure, that we do. But it's all in fun. But we don't tell them, we don't force them to eat meat. You know, a vegetarian, my sister and her whole family, they're vegetarians. When we have them over for dinner, we cook up a lot of meat. And we also cook up a lot of very tasty vegetarian dishes. And if they want, which they won't, they could step up at the dinner table and said, please don't eat that meat in front of me. Well, if that was the case, then I think we might
You'd
have
probably say, please get out of my house.
Fewer so family dinners
finish
at
my
the
meal.
House, right? Oh, I got to eat. I mean, how many tofu, eggplant lasagnas can you eat?
A lot. You'd be surprised what you can do with vegetarian dishes. I have to admit that personally, I've cut down on my red meat intake just because how much positive evidence, or negative evidence in this case, do you need saying that unprocessed and even processed red meat is really not good for you in the long run before you make a change in your diet?
Yeah.
I agree with you. It's all about balance, of course,
sure,
right?
Sure, sure. You know, the implication is that if you come across as a meat eater, then they immediately jump to the conclusion that all you do is eat meat.
Right.
I mean, I eat quinoa.
Quinoa?
Quinoa.
I don't even know what that is.
You would probably call it quinoa if you saw the word.
Of course I would. I just called herbivores herbivores.
I eat kale.
Wow. That's impressive because kale tastes like dirt.
If it's prepared properly, it's delicious.
Well, but see, then you're saying anything tastes delicious if it's prepared properly. If you put enough spices on it, roll it in enough butter, and put sour cream over the top of it with some cheese, of course
and
it's delicious.
Ketchup. Yeah, right. No, that's not
you're
how...
You're masking it with all the other flavors.
My wife knows how to cook. She prides herself at cooking like a chef. She really is a spectacular cook, and I am very lucky and blessed to have her because she willfully cooks three meals a day and feels unusually stressed and out of whack if somebody in the house is hungry. And that's just her makeup. That's how she is. I mean, it's not like we're throwing women's lib back 100 years. That's just her, and that's what she wants to do.
God bless her, by the way. That's like my aunt and my grandma, and I love those women to death because you cannot walk in the door without having a meal put in front of your face and one of them saying, you look like you're losing a little weight. You should have some more food. Hang on, let me whip you something up.
Right. And it's love, isn't it? They won't let you leave the house.
They're my fave.
With an empty stomach, because how are you going to go out there and slay the dragons if you're not completely, if you don't have your basic nutrition inside you?
Yeah, that's it. So matronly, so loving. By the way, I do have a little bit of feedback from our vegetarian friends, the ones that are rubbing it in the meat eaters' faces. Here's a tweet from one of them saying, sure, red meat is a major cancer risk, but where else are you going to go to find a protein source that expensive and environmentally catastrophic? See, so now they're standing on their bully pulpit. And meat eaters aren't happy either. Here's a tweet from one of our favorite meat eating friends. He said, I stopped smoking and even stopped drinking, but you're going to have to take my beef, my bacon, and my hamburgers from my cold, dead hands. So,
that's right. Well, you just Google bad things about vegetables, and there will be any number of articles like this one. A vegetable-rich diet has been linked to a higher risk of obesity in Chinese people, where they eat a lot of vegetables.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
The last thing you'd think of is vegetables being linked to obesity.
And I'm getting real tired of looking at your fat posterior, so cool it with all the veggie diets, Eat some meat and move your bowels once in a while.
And trim down.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all kinds of diets out there. There's diets out there that'll tell you to eat fats.
If you're eating the wrong kind of veggies before you go for a run when you're trying to trim down, then you throw off the whole the blood to the stomach to the digestion thing, and you run a half mile and you got the trots. So instead of jogging out there, your friends are taking off. They're a mile down the road and you're still wiping.
You're trotting.
Yeah. I mean.
What's the wrong kind of vegetable, by the way? It's hard for me to imagine the wrong kind of vegetable. Aren't they all just water-based, leafy?
Oh, you know what? If you're taking any kind of medicine, you have to be real careful which vegetables you eat because there are adverse reactions when you mix certain vegetables with certain types of medicines. Now, if you're going to go medicine-free, then who the heck cares? But just the same, ask your doctor, ask your nutritionist. Your doctor probably has a nutritionist in the office, and ask them and tell them, okay, I'm eating this. What vegetables should I avoid? And when they knock out 80% of your damn vegetarian diet, you're going to have to turn to bacon. I'm sorry.
No, there you go. Now, do you think that you are just stubbornly holding to your stance behind red meat because you don't want to give it up, or
no?
Because this sounds a little bit defensive.
The truth is,
like you're being attacked by this report, which I don't think is the intention.
I'm being attacked by the people in the report. I don't want to give up meat. It's delicious.
It sure is.
Fat is delicious. My wife won't let me eat a whole lot of it. If any, she cuts it off of everything that we eat. The bacon that I eat doesn't have any fat on it. Very often
it's not even bacon, really.
Very often we have turkey bacon.
Ugh. Wow.
Yeah. In fact,
I didn't know turkeys had bacon parts.
You want to know a secret about me? She made me a tofu chorizo breakfast burrito the other day. There was no meat in it at all, and it tasted just like chorizo.
That's soy riso.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Excellent. It really does taste just like chorizo.
Because chorizo tastes so delicious that it feels like you're going to die when you're done eating it. But that's the special thing about it. You have to have a thrill in what you're eating. If you don't enjoy your food, what's the point?
Well, it's not the point of enjoy. Of course, you're going to enjoy it in the moment. But what about down the road when your stomach has to process that? It's putting all these carcinogens into your body that your body now has to process.
Yeah,
it's
going
to cut your lifespan down by a significant numbers of years because of the fact that you're putting these toxins in your body.
Look, if you drink, if you're drinking the proper amount of water each day, or you're chasing that water with a couple of pints of soda pop, and you go out for your run and you do your workout and you sweat it all out of the body, the toxins are taken care of. The body is a remarkable thing. You could throw a lot of stuff into it, and it's going to process it and get rid of it one way or another.
For about 60, 65 years.
Well, that's a blessed life right
sure,
there.
Sure, I agree.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good run, as my grandpa would say. That's a good run.
What are we talking about, man? This is a long segment. We've only done one story. What's the matter with you?
I don't know. You better keep the show moving.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Baseball. Game one of the World Series. I bet you don't even know who's playing. Not you, Chris. I bet you don't even know who's playing.
I don't either, actually.
Do you know who's in the World Series? No. No, Mike Stark? No. No idea. Of course, because none of our teams are in it. If your team's not in it, why do you care? Oh, it's a big deal tonight for various reasons, and Chris will tell you why next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, you're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and of course you knew that. I'm Phil. Chris is here. We've really gotten things off to a grand start, spending almost the entire first segment talking about nutrition. And so let me just cap that conversation off with a couple of nutritional stories here. Red Twizzlers, you know what those are.
Sure.
Those are good for your health, aren't they?
I don't think so, but...
Are they licorice?
Yeah.
They don't contain any licorice. They're mostly made of corn syrup.
Huh.
All right. Speaking of syrup, the only IHOP location, International House of Pancakes, that serves real maple syrup is the one in South Burlington, Vermont.
That must be where maple syrup comes from.
Among various places in Canada, but Vermont is known for its maple syrup. Every other location serves artificially flavored syrup. Now, that breaks my heart.
Does it?
You know, you go to a place that's known for pancakes, and you would think they'd have something authentic to put on top of the pancakes.
No, they do. They have artificially flavored corn syrup to dump all over your... That's authentic in its own way.
How about some whipped cream and some fruit?
They have that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Fresh and fruity.
Mm-hmm.
First thing in the morning. Do you like black licorice?
Yes,
you do.
I like the real stuff too. That you can get like in the Swedish licorice, you know.
Yeah,
The problem is, talk about not good for your health. Real licorice has a relatively high lead content. No, it's true.
If
you look it up, there's lead and perhaps some other heavy metals in licorice.
Mm, would have never guessed. I just assumed it was sugar byproduct. I was sort of glued together with flavoring.
I was too busy enjoying the flavor of it to think about it. But I don't eat it every day. I eat the serious licorice maybe once every couple of years when I happen upon it.
Yeah.
At an event or somebody gives me a bag of it as a gift. Here, die.
Yeah. Oh, right. Thank you.
Hey,
charge.
Time to head out to the ballpark and see some baseball. Because you haven't watched a single game all season long, and now it comes down to the World Series, so you could be a baseball fan for a week.
Now's the time to watch. Now's when everybody starts watching. It's October. That seems to be the only time baseball matters.
Yeah.
And I don't mean anything against baseball fans, but it's a little bit tougher to watch during the regular season. But we've gone through all of the postseason play, and now we're at game one of the 2015 World Series, which kicks off tonight.
Hooray! Who's playing?
You got the Kansas City Royals and the New York Mets.
Who?
The Kansas City Royals. Well, the Royals were in it last season.
Yeah, Royals have been good. They've got a bit of a dynasty, but they've got to win, right?
This is a repeat performance for them. They do. Yeah, I guess they do have to win. I mean, this is I think, the only game you can actually call a must-win game.
Sure.
Right? Because, well, the only series, I suppose, must-win series. And then the New York Mets. The Kansas City, they're like we were talking about, they're back for redemption. They were there last year, Kansas City. Bunch of young, fresh upstarts. They're looking to make a new name for themselves.
Yeah.
Neither of them have been there for a while. The Royals last won the World Series in 1985, the Mets in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
Little tidbit for you. Stick it in your pocket. Take it with you.
Probably get better gas mileage in Kansas City than you do in New York.
Well, I'll guarantee you the gas prices are better. From what I understand, in Kansas City, they're paying under $2 a gallon. But yeah, here in California, over in New York, we're a little bit closer to $3.
You know, I'm okay with that, because have you ever been to Kansas City?
I haven't.
I think I'd like to help those folks out any possible way I can, because they look out their window and there's nothing but flat and boring. And they have to live with that every day of the week. Of course, the people and things to do in Kansas City probably even that out along the way, but they don't have anything to look at environmentally in Kansas City. It's just about as boring a looking a part of the country as you can possibly get. So give them a discount on their gas.
What
I'm
about
all for that.
Large expanses of beautiful blue sky, clouds, and sunscape? Now, I'm not saying we should feel bad for them, right? That they don't look out their window and see very tall, obscured buildings covered in somewhat brown layer of clouds.
Sure. Okay,
that is
fine.
Slightly blocking out the sun.
Well,
and you can see it, but you can almost hear it through the honking noise of the traffic that is bumper to bumper for 3 hours straight every morning.
No, true. I mean, where we live, in an hour or less in any direction, you have the desert, you have the beach, you have the mountains, and you have the, what else? There's one more thing. I forgot what it is. But if you're in Kansas City, you don't have to worry about your view of the horizon blocked by those pesky mountains.
Yes, correct. Desert, by the way, I think was the other one you were looking for.
Did I not say desert?
I think you said mountains, beach and
desert, and
mountains,
and your downtown area where all the entertainment is.
Ah, yeah. I don't know. I've never been to downtown Kansas City.
Yeah, well, me neither. But my family has roots in the area, not Kansas City, but Edgerton, if you know the area at all.
Well, what we're hoping for with the World Series is hopefully a high-scoring affair.
We were talking about baseball, weren't we?
We were. That's what we started
with. It should go 7 games.
Yeah, absolutely.
To give all the bandwagon baseball fans their money's worth.
Yeah, yeah. Give us all something to root for.
Yeah. All right, good.
Makes it more interesting.
Yeah. You know, just...
I just want to see a bunch of bombs get launched into the seats.
Yeah. Home runs. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
That's what we like. Let's see. What do I like? Oh, Halloween story right here. Right here, Halloween story. If you thought ordering a pumpkin spice latte was a good way to get into the Halloween spirit.
Yeah.
I scoff at how 2014 you are. This is 2015.
Pumpkin spice latte.
No, don't even try it. Starbucks just announced that they will be selling a special Halloween Frappuccino this week. And it's called...
Yeah.
Wait for it. The Frappula.
Ah, I see. It's a play on Dracula.
Dracula meets Frappuccino.
All right,
but doesn't
like
Frappula
that.
Sound like a body part?
It does. It sounds like something in your leg. Maybe in your knee.
Yeah. Maybe in the back of your throat.
Oh, that too.
You get it removed because you snore.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I always thought that was just called the hangy ball.
The hangy ball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Frappula, it sounds so much more professional.
What do you say, doctor? I suggest we laser off that Frappula.
Well, it's basically a white chocolate mocha Frappuccino, but with a raspberry sauce around the rim to make it look like blood.
Mm.
It's also got an extra layer of mocha sauce at the bottom and whipped cream on top. Otherwise, you wouldn't order it, right? Isn't that why people go to Starbucks? Because of the whipped cream and the mocha sauce. Never mind the coffee. It's the whipped cream and the mocha sauce, isn't it? Isn't that the only reason people go to Starbucks? That's the crack at Starbucks.
Yeah, I think their coffee's pretty strong, too. I think if you're like into high doses of caffeine, they do a good job of that.
They're going to sell these tomorrow through Saturday, and Saturday is Halloween. And isn't it something? When Halloween happens on a Friday or a Saturday, damn the kids. Get out of the way. It's an adult party.
It is. Yeah, it's quite a time for promotion. I see a lot of even alcohol products being advertised with Halloween-y type names.
Yeah.
I mean, and then obviously, yeah, the costumes, you think that's supposed to be for kids.
Right. Yeah, the kids are going door to door. They're knocking on the doors, and they hear loud music and moaning, and the moaning's not coming from undead people. It's adult activities. And then there's gunfire, and there are all the other things that adults do on party nights, and the kids run away scared, and they don't get any candy.
That's what you have to find. I think there's specific neighborhoods that good parents will get together and bust their kids into and walk them through the safe neighborhoods where they know they're going to get the big candy bars and quite a selection also. You can't just take them out to any neighborhood or to any Halloween party.
Yeah, all right.
A lot of people up to nefarious activities.
I have scary lists. I have the what may be the 25 best horror TV shows of all time. You want to know one of them?
Yeah.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
That's number 5 on the list.
That one.
And I also have a list of the 10 scariest jobs in America.
Ooh.
You know what a herpetologist is?
I'm going to guess somebody that deals with herpes.
So the way I said that, it sounded creepy. Like, ever seen a grown man naked? You know what a herpetologist is? It's a person who studies snakes and other reptiles.
Yeah.
Herpetologist.
Should have known that.
Doesn't study herpes. Sorry.
Well, just taking the logical road.
You're good. Hey, up next, this is something. You are one of two people. You've either heard advertising for companies that offer cash winnings for daily and weekly fantasy sports tournaments, or you're an active player who has deposited money and played in one or more tournaments on one of these sites. In fact, you may be playing now. Up next, huge controversy exposed. Are these websites a threat to the integrity of Major League Sports? Our next guest says yes, and you'll hear her right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, you've heard of them. FanDuel, DraftKings, they tout big winnings with very little money wagered for fantasy sports tournaments that do not last an entire season, just one week or in many cases one day. These companies are among the top advertisers when it comes to spending, and they are investing a lot into professional sports and into the teams and the leagues, for that matter. You cannot go to a pro sports game anymore and not see signage and creative sponsorship from these companies. Is this simply an advertising relationship, or have professional sports teams signed a deal with the devil? Let's dig into this a little bit with a Brooklyn Law School professor of law who is also a former attorney for the NFL, where she managed litigation in all areas of law, oversaw a variety of policy and operational matters, negotiated contracts for league special events, and administered the league's internal dispute resolution processes and compliance program. Jody Balsam, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
Now, this is kind of a big deal. You say there is scandal behind the relationship with pro teams and these companies. Explain.
Well, what I say is that they are throwing out the baby and the bathwater here when they get in bed with these daily fantasy sports businesses, because the public perceives them as gambling, and gambling undermines the integrity of sport. The leagues have decided to go for the big upfront bucks at the risk of undermining the long-term popularity of the game, which has been rooted throughout history in the values of human excellence and special athletic performance and teamwork and self-discipline.
Now, other than the check for the signage and the sponsorship and the other things that they get to try to get the folks who come to the games or watch the games on television sign up for an account, other than that check, do teams, or players for that matter, have a piece of the action?
Yes, they do. At the moment, every major sports league except the NFL has an equity interest in either DraftKings or FanDuel. That's baseball, the NBA, NHL, Major League Soccer. And although the NFL as a league did not take an investment, DraftKings investors include two NFL team owners, Bob Kraft of the Patriots and Jerry Jones of the Cowboys.
So this equity position was implicit in the sponsorship deals? There's a give and take in the deals?
There is. So I don't know the details of all the deals, but what's been reported is that in exchange for an equity interest in the team, in the businesses, the fantasy businesses, fantasy got sponsorship deals. So the leagues didn't actually spend millions of dollars for shares in the companies. They said, what we'll give you instead for shares in your companies is access to our marks and logos and a sponsorship relationship. The NFL is the only league not to have agreed to lend their name and logo directly to a sponsorship deal.
All right. So in case anybody missed the implication here, outside of the NFL, save those for those two owners who've invested in these companies, outside of the NFL, the rest of professional sports has a stake in the success of gambling companies.
Yes, and the problem here is the hypocrisy implicit in regulating your own players and personnel, prohibiting them from participating in these games for the most part. The league's policies all differ a little bit in the outlines, but the leagues actually prohibit their own players and personnel from playing fantasy sports, and yet they're staking out a position, investing in, profiting from, and encouraging their fans to engage in these daily fantasy games.
We're talking to attorney Jody Balsam, who has worked for the NFL, on the legal side. So what is the leagues are populated with 20-year-old newly minted millionaires. So what is the message then to the players?
Well, interestingly, the NFL's message is a little different than the other leagues. The NFL actually allows their players to participate in daily fantasy as long as the stakes are no greater than $250. The other major leagues ban their players and personnel from participating in any fantasy leagues that require payment of an entry fee or awards to participants. So there's a mixed message out there, but the basic message here is that the rest of the world can make money off your backs, and you have to stay pure and avoid participating in this activity.
Let me ask you about those rules. Now, if they're allowed to bet up to $250 on these fantasy sports games, are they allowed to bet for or against their own team or their own players on their own team?
Well, I know the NFL is reconsidering its rule on this, but at the moment, they are allowed to play fantasy sports without any restriction other than the monetary one. And let me just tell you that putting aside fantasy, daily fantasy, which at the moment is not considered gambling in most jurisdictions, let's just talk about sort of the sports gambling we know that's been going on for forever and what pro athletes' involvement in that has been. There was a recent, very interesting ESPN survey earlier this year that 34% of professional athletes wager on sports. We're not talking fantasy. We're talking game outcome wagers. And 37% of professional athletes surveyed in this ESPN survey say that they are aware of a current or former teammate who has a gambling problem.
Do you believe players are shaving points?
Well, I know, according to this survey, that 42% of pro athletes pay attention to point spreads, and 3% have had suspicions that they had played in a fixed game. So 3% doesn't sound like a lot, but when you consider, for example, the number of Major League Baseball games in the course of a season, I don't have that number, but it's, you know, in the thousands. 3% of those games is an interesting percentage.
Yeah, it is. Isn't the very allure of fantasy sports, though, the untainted performance potential of the players? And if they're thought to be shaving points, then the bottom falls out and a lot of people won't play. Or am I just being Pollyanna about this?
No, I think that the fantasy sports conception at its origin was that you're not betting on game outcomes. You're betting on the performance of a player over the course of a season. And that's sort of the traditional season-long, low-stakes fantasy league that people have been participating in since the rotisserie league days of the 1980s. Right, daily fantasy is a fairly recent invention.
Yeah.
If you're talking about the recreational, informal, season-long fantasy leagues, it's very little risk that you're going to influence a player's behavior on the field. Daily fantasy is a different animal. It's much more subject to that kind of undue influence because players' performance on a particular day can determine the outcome of a contest.
You're saying even like last night we had Monday Night Football, and you're saying if you're a fantasy player and you're playing in a league where you have a chance of winning a large sum of money, but a big part of that has to do with a player's performance in that Monday night game. If that player sat out or didn't perform to their highest level, they could significantly influence the results.
Yeah, and the risks go both ways, right? So what I'm mostly concerned about is the risk to the integrity of sport. But there's also a risk to the integrity of these daily fantasy games if you have inside information about player health and ability to play. And that's the kind of information that people might pay money for, and that would undermine the integrity of these fantasy games, which frankly
well,
is
these,
less.
These guys were just in the news about that too. DraftKings, yep. And the other, they were talking about collusion where they were given inside information. An employee from one of the fantasy football leagues won $350,000 from the other fantasy football league, and they were saying, well, you guys must be talking on the inside.
Well, yeah, I mean, what happened there is that an employee of DraftKings, and by the way, DraftKings and FanDuel, the two biggest daily fantasy companies, they prohibit their employees, up until this incident, from participating in their own games. But their employees were allowed to participate in fantasy games offered by competitors. So a DraftKings employee won $350 off a FanDuel contest, allegedly using his company's data to inform his lineup choices.
Yeah.
That may or may not be true. The story has evolved since the initial report. But the point is that there's certainly an appearance of impropriety when the people who are actually running the games are winning that type of money. And there was an interesting comment by the DraftKings CEO that he, in the course of the investigation, they found out that a couple of dozen of DraftKings employees over the last couple of years have won a total of $6 million in prizes on FanDuel contests.
My goodness. Jody Balsam is our guest, and we've gone long on this segment, but it's well worth it. One last question, if you could keep it kind of short, and then we'll go to our break, and thank you very much. But so what's next? Are the leagues aware of any fallout or scrutiny or the FanDuel and the others, or is there any outside of this conversation that you're having?
Well, the leagues all prohibit gambling, and what has kept FanDuel, DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports on the right side of the league's business model is they have not been considered gambling. All of the jurisdictions that regulate gambling, both state and federal, are now taking a closer look at that. I wouldn't be surprised if some of them decided, you know what, daily fantasy is gambling. At that point, the leagues have to ban all connection with it.
We'll see what happens. Thank you very much, Jody Balsam, professor of law, Brooklyn Law School. And my goodness, thanks for being on the program.
My pleasure.
Halloween is the time to talk about potions and spells, but in reality, there are many herbs and medicines right in your kitchen and your backyard that you can use to create potions. No witchcraft needed. We have something like a witch on the program next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. It's time to brew up some fun on the show. Gudrun Penselin is an herbalist with 30 years experience as a practitioner, teacher, speaker, writer. She produced the instructional DVD Herbal Pharmacy for Everyone, a step-by-step guide to creating your own herbal preparations. She joins us live now and is about to correct me on the pronunciation of her name. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great, even better now that you're here. Now, what are we talking about here? Potions, elixirs, what?
About potions, because we want to stay within the Halloween theme, right? Halloween is coming up here right away, and a potion is a word that comes from Latin and means a drink that has magical powers.
Oh, I'd love to drink something and get magical powers or derive some kind of benefit from a magical potion. Now, what are the most the implication here is that we have things in our cupboards, in our refrigerator, or something to be uprooted in our backyard, available ingredients that we could boil something up and make something magical in our kitchen right now. Is that correct?
That is very right, and that is what I really like to do, is use what is on hand in our kitchen or our backyard in order to support our system, our health, our well-being.
Oh, and, okay.
We can use onions, we can use garlic, we can use ginger, the threaded dandelion that grows in most people's backyards. All of those have very strong medicinal properties.
Okay, so if what would be a potion that would have some good medicinal properties that on a day-to-day basis I might want to brew up, and it would be good for me. Give me an example.
My favorite is what I call the jungle juice. Even though I live in northern Alberta, my favorite is the jungle juice that is very easy to create, fast and easy, as long as you have a blender. And all you need is always use a little bit of fresh lemon, a little bit of ginger root, you don't need to peel it, and honey, and water, or you use mineral water.
Hmm.
And then the only ingredients that you vary are the herbs. You can use sprouts, alfalfa sprouts, you can use chickweed or dandelion, whatever grows in your backyard, spinach, and then mix it all up and drink it. And it's very refreshing, and depending on what herbs you put in there, it will have, of course, different medicinal properties.
I want to know how all of those things are available to you in northern Alberta. Is it all being trucked in, or do you have a biosphere built in your backyard?
In northern Alberta, in the summer, I have everything available. But in the winter, I definitely resort to sprouts and spinach because it won't be long and we are under a cover of snow.
Oh, okay, good. Now, let's say I wake up and normally I brew a cup of coffee so that I could snap into it and have a good day. But what if I wanted a little more vim and vigor and a little more kick in my step for the day? Do you have a good potion for that?
I would definitely say the jungle juice is definitely your number one.
Oh, good. Now, how about if I want to make something evil? Like, can I turn the neighbor kid into a pig?
I am not sure. No, not the kind of potions I'm dealing with.
But he won't stay off the lawn, for goodness sakes. Now, how about medicinal potions or like poultices? Let's say something goes wrong. You've burned yourself or you have a bad bee sting or something like that.
For example, that's a really good example. When you get stung by a bee or a mosquito, my favorite one is just simple apple cider vinegar. You spray that on there and it will help to minimize the swelling and will actually take the itching away.
Hmm.
Is the easiest. Or you can also use just some dirt and mix it with a little bit of water and that apply that to the insect.
Just some dirt, just common dirt out of the backyard.
Yes.
Now, this is great advice because as of late, I feel like I need to take a dirt and apple cider vinegar bath because for whatever reason, maybe it's my blood type, mosquitoes just hammer me. So
do they?
I wrote that one down.
Now, how about filling the bathtub with that apple cider vinegar and hopping in?
Let me tell you something about your reacting to insect bites. People should always look at their diet because oftentimes it's when you're more sensitive to the foods that you're eating and you're not aware of it. Your immune system is a little bit in overdrive and may have an overreaction to an insect bite.
Oh.
I eat predominantly red meat and drink vodka. Do you think that might be the problem?
It might be a problem. Sometimes it's gluten.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you haven't always lived in northern Alberta, have you?
No, I'm originally from Germany, and I came to Canada in 1981.
Mm-hmm. Now, in talking about these brews and potions and poultices and whatever else that you're making, elixirs, has anybody ever questioned whether perhaps you're a witch or something like that?
In fact, yes.
Does it happen all the time?
No, it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes people, they don't really wonder if I'm a witch, but in a form of the jokes, yes, I am a herb witch.
A herb witch. All right. Good to know. How do we get your DVD?
You can go to my website, www.herbalinstructions.com, and you will also find a link to download the Jungle Juice recipe there. And you can go to Rainbow Healing Health as my Facebook page.
Rainbow Healing Health. Sounds good. Thank you for being on the program. Now, Gudrun Penicillin, did I do that well?
You did extremely well.
Good. I don't want to make you mad. You might brew something up.
I'm very mellow, and I take any variation.
Oh, okay, good. Nice to speak with you, and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you as well.
All right, there she goes. Northern Alberta, huh?
Seems like a sweetheart.
Yeah, it gets cold, and I bet vodka is about the only thing they've got to take care of that when it gets nice and cold up there.
Help warm you up, put the fire in your belly. Yeah, we used to drink a potion called Jungle Juice growing up, too, but it was made of a slightly different concoction.
Yeah, Michael Jackson had Jesus Juice. Is it the same kind of thing?
I don't think so.
25 best horror TV shows. I'm just going to drop them in from time to time. Let's see, Twin Peaks.
Never seen it.
Twilight Zone, of course.
Oh,
Twilight
sure.
Zone. Yeah.
You are now entering.
X-Files?
Mm-hmm.
How about American Horror Story? Oh.
That one's relatively new also, isn't it?
A couple of 2011 seasons. To present. How about The Walking Dead?
Again, relatively new. That one's been around for a while now, I suppose.
Alfred Hitchcock Presents. Ask your mom and dad about that. Maybe your grandparents. That was 1955 to 62.
Mm-hmm.
Kolchak, The Night Stalker. That was only on for a year. I remember that show in the 70s.
You have a great memory.
Tales from the Crypt.
I remember that one.
That was on for a good 7 years.
I remember that one. That's where the skeleton jumped up out of the crypt at the start of every show.
Like this.
Uh-huh.
Or something like that, right?
Like
a strangling cat.
He'd laugh like a maniac.
Hey, that's it for hour one of the program. There is so much more to come, including scary beer parties, how to make Halloween blood with four ingredients, and no, ketchup is not one of them. Plus, bad behavior is rewarded by the owner of America's football team. Do you know which team I'm talking about? Those stories and a whole lot more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, the spookiest graveyards worth visiting for Halloween. The classic man bites dog story, only this time the dog has a gun. The 10 scariest jobs in America, and something called October Beast. Don't know what that is, but we'll find out. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening. Chris Martin is here today. And, wow, what a first hour. The whole gambling, the fantasy sports gambling, and the professional teams, I mean, it's just got our heads reeling a little bit and thinking a lot about that. And how, imagine, the referees get involved. Let's say the referee's making $100,000 to $200,000, something like that, a year. And he's got stakes in the game that he's officiating. And he stands a chance of making his annual salary in one night if he penalizes one team or one player enough to shave his points a little bit.
Opens a whole can of tangled worms, doesn't it?
Tangled worms?
Tangled worms.
Of tangled worms.
If worms are in a can together, they're most likely going to be tangled as it is.
What a tangled worm we weave.
That's right. Yeah. That's no wonder people are up at arms about this, because you're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry, something like $3.5 billion just in fantasy football. We're not even talking about the NFL.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's going to get people's attention.
Yeah.
And usually in a negative way. I've noticed that we're pretty skeptical as a society, and we believe that people are going to take whatever opportunity they have and choose the wrong route.
Yeah. Well, we have no faith in humanity.
We don't. No, we don't. We think everybody's going to cheat so they can earn more money. Mm-hmm. So far, no evidence to that fact.
But just wait. The shoe's going to drop.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time.
And you know what? I'm upset about an interview from last hour, the Gudrun, the witch that we spoke to.
Mm-hmm.
I should have asked her. She lives up in northern Alberta, which is practically, you know, it's the frozen tundra half of the year. And I wonder if she lives in a cottage. I didn't ask her that.
Mm, good question.
You know, is she in a high-rise condo? Probably not. But up there in the hinterland, she's probably in a cottage, and you walk in. She seems so nice. She was so gracious and grandmotherly. And if she lives in a... I didn't ask her if she has a little bump on her back or, you know, one of those things growing out of her nose. I didn't ask any of those things.
Does she ride a broomstick to work?
And does she welcome you into the cottage? Come on in, have a seat, you know, can I make you some tea? The door closes by itself, the lights go out, and then she gets real ugly and her eyes turn yellow. And she asks
if you can reach the back of the oven so you can help her clean it.
I forgot to ask her all of those things.
Yeah, if her favorite poem is Double, Double, Toil and Trouble.
Yes, exactly.
So many questions.
Gosh,
so little time.
Well, you think you can do better? You come over here. You do this show.
Mm-hmm.
We'll switch roles. I will listen to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and you host the show. Not you, Chris, but you.
Yeah.
You listening right now. You think you can do this? Come on.
Give it a try.
Come here. What's the matter with you?
Be careful. Someone might take you up on that offer.
They might. I've never been known to be a good listener.
I don't know about that. You do all right.
Okay, thanks. What?
Hmm?
The classic news item that runs ahead of everything else is when a man bites a dog. So anytime a man does something dog-like or a dog does something man-like, it goes straight to the top of the pile, and it becomes news. And that, Chris, has happened, hasn't it?
It has. It has. And we love stories like this, especially when nobody ends up super injured or dead, because that makes it a very sad story. But there was a 25-year-old female who was out hunting, and she laid her loaded 12-gauge shotgun on the ground with the safety off, which any of us who have taken hunter's education know that is a major no-no. You cannot do that. And as she did that, her 10-year-old chocolate lab walked up onto the gun and accidentally pulled the trigger. It fired at ground level and shot the owner, this 25-year-old lady, in the foot.
Oh, no.
Shot her in the foot, see?
Buckshot in the ankle.
Buckshot. She got hit with whatever it was, most likely birdshot, or if they were out there shooting skeet, who knows. But I'm sure it didn't feel good.
No.
You want to hear the ironic part of the story?
What is it?
Dog's name? Trigger.
Ah.
How about that?
I thought you were going to tell me the lady's a ballerina in her spare time.
No, that would be just a more sad part of the story.
Yeah, she's going to have to take up tap dancing if she is a dancer now, because she's going to be hoofing it for a while.
Yeah, wow, with all she'll that probably lead. Be in the boot.
Yeah, in the boot.
Das Boot.
Yeah. All right, funny guys. Who's funnier, Ricky Gervais or Chris Rock? Is that a toss-up?
We can debate it. No, I don't think it's a toss-up.
Who do you like better?
All right, well, we have to put it in context. Stand-up comedy,
yeah.
Chris Rock by far is more legendary, I think, with better material. But mm-hmm. when we're putting it in the context of what we're talking about, which is Hollywood awards show presenter, Ricky Gervais has been the funnier one.
On the Golden Globes.
On the Golden Globes,
because
yeah.
he has this captive audience, and he points his barrels and puts his sights directly on the people in the audience, and he fires at will.
Yeah, and he's caustic.
Metaphorically
and he's venomous.
Speaking.
Exactly. And he lives overseas, which I feel like as a comedian gives him this buffer where he knows no matter what he says here, mm-hmm. it's not like he has to live here. I'm sure he has homes here also.
Yeah.
But so that's what you have. You have Ricky Gervais, who's going to be hosting the Golden Globes again. This will be for the fourth time.
They keep asking him back because even though he makes the actors and actresses uncomfortable, he brings in the viewers.
He brings in the ratings.
Yeah.
Because it is uncomfortable because he really has no barriers when it comes to what he'll talk about. Of course, this was announced shortly after it was announced that Chris Rock will be hosting the Oscars after 11 years. He did it in 2004, so he's coming back. To me, this whole thing sounds like it could be dangerous because you take these two ruthless comics, you put them in back-to-back awards shows, and
one-upsmanship?
Basically pit them against each other. Not only one-upsmanship, but if you're the first to go, and I'm not sure which order these are in, but you feel like you have to blow the barn doors off and say, good luck keeping up with that, partner.
I think the Globies go first, don't they?
It makes sense. Yeah, I think the Oscars are like the coup de grace of the award season, aren't they? Yeah.
Is Chris Rock going to do the whole thing in French this year? Is that what you're implying?
There's that possibility. Who knows what he's going to have to do to outshine Ricky Gervais, because you know he's going to go out there and really tear it up. I have just a couple of quick examples for you.
Okay.
Chris Rock at the 2004 Oscars in the monologue, he was fearless. He jumped on Nicole Kidman, Cuba Gooding Jr., Colin Farrell, and had this running gag on Jude Law, so obviously no restraint when it comes to the level of celebrity that he makes fun of. He also made sure to mention race issues, which you probably will run into again. He referred to the high number of black candidates in the 2004 Oscars as they should rename it to the Deaf Oscar Jam, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
But Gervais, on the other hand, he's always a home run. He hosted in 2010, 2011, 2012. That's the Golden Globes, of course. And he tagged celebrities with some beauties like this. Next up is Eva Longoria. She has the daunting task of introducing the president of Hollywood Foreign Press. But that's nothing. I just helped him off the toilet and popped his teeth back in. Or how about this little beauty? For any of you who don't know, the Golden Globes are just like the Oscars, but without all the esteem. That's right. The Golden Globes are like Kim Kardashian as opposed to Kate Middleton. So he just seems to take it that extra level of edge. He's up there drinking while everybody else is out there drinking. It's a looser environment. But, you know, a lot of those celebrities will get up there and fire back, too. I think Robert Downey Jr. got up there and mentioned how many clinics he's been in and out of.
Yeah.
Gervais, of course.
Right, right.
We'll see.
Elasmo Brancologist.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I have one of those.
Elasmobranchologist. You have one of those?
I do.
Have you had it treated?
No. No, but I should get it looked at.
That's the study of sharks. That's one of the 10 scariest jobs in America.
Mm.
You want to know another one?
Yeah, definitely.
Forensic scientist technician. You analyze blood and body parts at crime scenes.
Yeah, that's scary.
The FST. Diver. You spend your time deep in the ocean totally alone.
Mm.
Where
different personality that might be suited to, but
Coroner, which obviously involves touching and cutting open dead bodies.
That one I know.
10 scariest jobs. Let's see, medical lab tech. You handle blood all day, every day. Miner, because it a lot of time alone in the dark, small, dangerous spaces.
Sure.
Transmission tower worker. Not good for anyone with fear of heights or if you want to get bitten by the electric shock.
Although, you know, I was just reading an article that says that transmission tower workers for the airlines is a very important job, and there's not enough of them out there, so pay wages are going up.
Hey, good to know.
So kids,
yeah,
go study that.
And start climbing trees.
Mm-hmm.
Arachnologist, the person who studies spiders. That is the number one scariest job out of the 10 scariest jobs in America.
Yeah, that one seems pretty rough.
Yeah, I suppose, unless you love spiders.
Who does? I mean, I guess arachnologists or whatever they are.
Sure. Okay. You know what else is scary? The fact that we're going to have another president in a year and a half. And looking at the bunch of people that are running, who knows? Depending on which side of the ideological coin you're on, you're probably frightened to death by the other side. And so just a little update, and the media is having a field day over it. And plus, oh, poor Lamar Odom. There was a confirmation about something that we all, I think, assumed, but now we know for sure that it is the case. And we'll tell you about that and a whole lot more coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Visit the website. All you have to do is add a .com to the name of the show. How easy is that? Well, you do have to know how to spell Hewlett, first of all. Is that the hardest thing to spell in the name of the show?
Yes.
H-U-L-E-T-T. There's six letters.
And Phil, how do we spell that? Because I'm guessing F-I-L-L.
No.
Okay.
There's a P and an H in there.
Is there?
No O, no E.
Okay.
P-H-I-L.
L.
And Friends, as opposed to the letter N.
Yeah, or the Anthropan.
Yeah, Anthropan.
Is that what that thing's called? Isn't that what it's called? The little, the like reverse S that has a tail going through it?
Didn't they used to sell those for $29.99 from Ronco? The Anthropan. It doesn't stick, bend, burn, or work when you want it to.
Phil Hewlett in Friends.
But wait, there's more. Donald Trump has been leading the pack on the Republican side since, it seems, day one, since he announced by double digits in many cases. And the next closest competitor is Dr. Ben Carson. Isn't that right?
That is right.
And
the next closest competitor behind him is?
It's either Captain Bush or Carly Fiorina.
Yeah, I suppose that's sort of a neck and neck race, isn't
it? Jeb Bush. I couldn't remember the name because Jeb isn't the everyday name that you think of.
Captain Bush is a cool nickname. Matter of fact, that's what I'm going to go to Halloween as.
Captain Bush.
That's right.
Okay, I can only imagine what you're going to conjure
up. It's going to be a homemade costume.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Crepe paper?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just one of the components.
Yeah.
Crepe paper, tumbleweed,
yeah, coconut
super
hair,
super glue,
yeah,
a little bit of avocado. I'm gonna need coconut hair,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good. So, where do things stand? Is Trump still outpacing the rest of his competitors?
No, the biggest story that's going on in the Republican race right now is that Ben Carson actually overtook Donald Trump in the polls in Iowa, which is of course one state, right? But he also trails in at least one national survey issued by CBS and the New York Times in the national race as well.
Trump trails Carson.
That's correct.
So Carson Trump is emerging Carson. Now as one of the guys who has a chance to gain some popularity from state to state when they start having the primaries.
Yeah, well, continue to gain popularity. From what I understand, it is arguable that Ben Carson might be the person that's gaining the most momentum from beginning in. In other words, Trump shot out of a rocket when he started and sort of stayed on that rocket sled up at the top.
Yep.
If anybody's been gaining momentum, which is a powerful thing to have, momentum,
right,
it's Ben Carson.
And it's not Jeb Bush or Captain
Bush. No, he's floating around just sort of in the middle of the pack, I suppose you would say, even though
there's
really
a bunch of guys with
race,
like 2 to 6% of the popularity right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that in a typical year, if they didn't all think that Trump was going to flame out at some point, all of those guys would have gotten out of the race a long time ago with 2 to 6%. They think, okay, this is futile, but they keep raising money. Because I think there's an impression on the Republican side that Trump, yes, indeed, will flame out at some point. But he says he's not a loser. He doesn't lose. Mm-hmm. He only wins.
That's right.
So I guess there was one theory I heard that if he, for 1 minute, thinks that he's not going to win, he'll get out before he loses.
Yeah, well, this morning he was actually talking about this issue, about falling behind in the polls to Carson. And Trump said that he didn't understand it. He said everywhere that he goes, he sees huge support.
Yeah.
And he sees his campaign gaining momentum. And really, it came across almost like he might be questioning the validity of the polls that are being taken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is fair enough to do. Listen, I think both of those points are good points. One, if you're a Republican candidate and you're banking on the fact that Trump is going to flame out, probably a high probability that that could happen. Also, if you're Trump and you're questioning the validity of these polls, mm-hmm. these polls are all seem to be kind of manipulated by whoever's taking them
sure.
on some level or another.
Yeah, they ask questions like, is this the first time you kicked your dog?
Yes. Yeah, and how do you answer that properly?
I don't know.
I kicked him last week.
Yeah, but see,
yes, it is the first time.
Iowa is weird, the caucus there. I mean, the last two guys that won didn't win the nomination for the Republican. I think it was Huckabee and was the other guy, Santorum? Santorum, yeah.
Oh. Santorum. Yeah, Rick.
Yeah.
Oh, Rick. I think we had him on the show, didn't we?
Yeah.
Talking about Sriracha.
Sriracha? Rick Santorum? Was that his name?
I don't know.
No. Sriracha? What do you call it?
Like, that's that hot sauce, the rooster sauce.
Sriracha.
Sriracha.
Yeah.
It's Sriracha.
Sriracha?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was almost sounded like you had sandals mixed in with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Hirachi. What are they called?
Sriracha.
Sriracha sandals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on.
I put the
plenty
emphasis
of time.
On the wrong syllable.
Plenty of time to get into the politics as things shake out a little bit. It just seems so early.
Yeah.
Poor Lamar Odom. Can I say that enough? I mean, the guy.
Say it again.
He's probably a good guy, probably a nice guy, but he had troubles. He had issues. He had problems, social problems, whatever you want to call them. I don't know. It just the fact that he would gather up $75,000 and go to a legal brothel in what was it called, the love shack, the love kitchen, the love
something
ranch.
Like that,
the love ranch, yep. Right? And find a couple of prostitutes at the love ranch that were offered to him, the two that would tolerate somebody who wants to take a lot of drugs. This is what we've learned.
You think those were the only two that would tolerate that at the love ranch, Phil?
It seems silly, but that was the way it was reported.
Okay.
That the two who could deal with that, as well as hang out with him for a couple of days and just watch TV shows. But the other thing is, the speculation was that he was taking drugs, but now there has been some conclusive evidence on that, right?
As conclusive as reporting from TMZ can possibly be.
Those guys are never wrong, are they?
No, doesn't seem like it.
They pretty much nail it.
Mm-hmm. They've ran right to the top of the list of valid news networks.
It's just that they have a goofy time reporting it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they sit around in that press room and sort of all crack jokes about
the
what's
bullpen,
going on.
Yeah, right.
So what TMZ is reporting is that Lamar Odom did have cocaine in his system when he was hospitalized, which I don't know if this is news or not, because I'm pretty sure we all assume that, or I feel like that was released at the time. There is some other interesting new updates from TMZ, though. The local sheriff, according to TMZ, says that it is distinctly possible that Lamar could be prosecuted for possessing cocaine.
He's already in jail.
He's in the hospital.
I know. He's had a couple of strokes. I mean, he doesn't even know where he is, probably.
Well, now he faces 1 to 4 years.
What's the point?
Yeah. Well, they're saying he probably wouldn't do any time because it would be a first-time offense for him, is what the police are saying, which is nice to hear. Meanwhile, TMZ also reports that Khloe Kardashian is putting her foot down and insisting she will leave Lamar Odom for good if he starts doing drugs again.
Okay. You know what? I don't think he's going to start doing anything again except sipping through a straw.
Yeah, at this point, I don't even know if we're certain he's going to survive. So this is all conjecture, but we certainly do love this celebrity talk, this
yeah.
ragmag sort of talk about what's possibly happening, even though we really have no clue, right?
I feel bad for the guy. I really do. I don't feel bad so much for Khloe.
That guy has a world championship ring on his finger from playing with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yes, that's saying something.
Yes, yeah. Like, you don't have to feel too bad for him.
But he got involved with the Kardashians, and everything went downhill from there.
Yeah, that could be, you know, that's one way of looking at it. We throw the Kardashians under the bus. They're the root of all evil. Or we can say, hey, Lamar, how about you look introspectively? See what was going on inside your own life to lead you to this situation.
They sucked the life and the money right out of the poor guy.
Right. They represent evil right now in our society, don't they? It's easy to blame the Kardashians.
The evil K.
One more thing. Britain's Daily Mail tabloid says that if Lamar does need a kidney, which he might, Rob Kardashian would offer up one of his.
Really?
Yeah.
He's got a spare.
Apparently we all do. Apparently we all have two of those.
All right, fine. By the way, six little kids in Australia stole a car last week.
Talking
about criminals. And that's not even the weirdest part of the story. It happened, I'm not making this up. Four boys, two girls, all of them between the ages of 9 and 14, they clearly messed with the wrong guy. They broke into the guy's house, grabbed the keys to his Mazda, they drove off, but he was able to chase them in his helicopter. Somehow the guy happened to have one just sitting around. He hopped in, flew after them, called the cops, and gave them real-time updates where the kids were happening. It was one of those pursuits like we have in Los Angeles with the police following the guy at high speed. They caught the kids and fed them to the Crocs. Now, before the zombie apocalypse comes, why not visit the dead before they dig themselves out of their plots? Our travel guy joins us with the best ghostly graveyards to visit for Halloween next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. You can make realistic fake blood this Halloween with four basic ingredients. And no, ketchup is not one of them. Mix 8 ounces of water with 16 ounces of powdered sugar and a 1 ounce bottle of red food coloring and a tablespoon of cocoa powder to make it dark red. And
got it.
The sugar apparently will make it adhere to your skin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make it kind of sticky.
Yeah, and chunky a little bit too, which you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need it to sort of coagulate.
Like there's some chunks of flesh in there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and hang in there on your face without dripping off.
I like that.
Yeah, it's better than the strawberry jelly I was going to use.
Now, it's Halloween season. Halloween is this coming Saturday, and we don't get Halloweens on Saturdays a lot, so you want to have an epic party, and you want to freak out your friends, so very often, it's a destination party. And when we talk destinations on this program, we bring in our travel guy, Gary Warner, and hey, look, everybody, he's here.
I am. Spooky as ever.
Yeah, and let me tell you, we've had some scary times with you on this program.
That's right.
You've traveled the world, and you've seen some scary cemeteries, graveyards, that sort of thing, and there are some epic ones out there. Is that correct?
Right, there are. And first of all, I want to say that in terms of Halloween, graveyards are always a big theme, you know, going back to Victorian times. You know, but I think if you tried to have like a spooky tour of like Arlington National Cemetery or St. Paul's Cathedral or something like that, that wouldn't work. So, you know, what I'm looking at are graveyards around the world where either by yourself or sometimes even in tours, you can experience the spookier, older side of death, as it were. And some of these are closed, some of them are very old, or some of them are in cultures where they really don't care that you go and do that, as long as you know, maybe pay the admission or something like that.
So
I got a group from around the world.
Where do we start?
Well, let's start in Argentina, in South America. Recoleta in Buenos Aires is best known as the burial spot for Evita. That's Eva Perón.
Ooh, she's spooky, Eva Perón.
She is spooky, yes, and Madonna's spooky herself, who played her in the movie. But that's how most people know Evita as the wife of dictator Juan Perón. But she's buried in this graveyard that's mostly elevated crypts, very close together, very dark granites and stones, a lot of straight paths, but they're very short. So you can really get lost in this place very easily, and it's very dark. And I visited the last time on a kind of a gloomy fall afternoon, and it was just this, you know, miasma of spookiness. And there was one woman that had a red jacket on, and I followed her around and took photographs of her because it was so weird that someone had red on in a graveyard. But you know, Evita's the main person that's the draw there, but it's one of the most atmospheric in the world.
Yeah, good to know. And plus, you're in Buenos Aires. Come on,
you're in Buenos Aires when you can go out and party, you know. And it's very central, and it's relatively small to get around on. So is the next one. Picking one out of Europe is really tough because, you know, Père Lachaise in Paris is probably more famous. That's where Jim Morrison's buried.
Yeah.
The Ohlsdorf Cemetery in Hamburg is Europe's largest. But my favorite is Highgate Cemetery in London. There's only 53,000 people buried in this relatively small area. But it opened up in 1839, and it's got this Victorian feel of these curving crypts with wrought iron and weeds, and some of them are well maintained, some of them are cracked, some of the headstones have fallen over, almost right out of the Haunted Mansion ride at Disneyland or something like that. And there's a few people that you can look for there. The big one that everybody goes to see is Karl Marx, the father of communism, who, though German, and whose biggest impact was in Russia and China, spent much of his life at the British Library and then is buried in London.
Yeah.
So, but it's a great spot to go to.
Now, it's not a cemetery there in Paris, but would you consider the catacombs a spooky place to go to?
Yeah. I mean, they're catacombs. Catacombs are always great. The ones in Paris. Certainly in Italy, there are a number in Genoa and in Rome.
Used to dump millions of dead people in there, right?
Well, and more than that, there's some like the famous Capuchin monk one in Rome, where they intentionally would take the bones and arrange them into artwork and with heads and a sign that says, as you are, we once were, as we are, you will be. You know, so it's sort of like, you know, you go down there with the message that everybody,
you're about,
you know,
to die.
It's coming. It's very spooky down there.
Yeah.
They like that message.
Right.
Over in Asia, Asia's kind of a tough spot because some of the best cemeteries are in Iraq, and you can't get to those these days.
Mm-hmm.
The largest cemetery in the world is in Iraq. On the Asian side of Istanbul, Istanbul is the capital, not the capital, the largest city of Turkey, and it's split in half. Half of it's in Europe, half of it's in Asia by the Bosphorus. And I want to say this correctly, Karakame Cemetery, which is on the Asian side, there's over 1 million people who are buried there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's been there since the Ottoman Empire. And the Ottoman Empire was famous for being very open to all sorts of different religions. So there's 12 different distinct areas for, you know, Catholics, Jews, Sunnis, Shiites.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go through this whole thing. It's closed, and they planted a lot of cypress trees. So it's got this really sort of ancient, old, and closed feeling to it. That's great.
How about that? Okay, are we flying home yet?
Now we're going to go to the United States.
Good.
We're going to the United States. I could not come up with just one. I had to go with two, and there's many more I could have added. But first of all, St. Louis Cemetery number 1 in New Orleans. This is a cemetery that opened up in the time when Napoleon was running the town, it has been around since the War of 1812, Louisiana Purchase, the whole bit, and it is in sad disrepair. And this year, for the first time, the Catholic Archdiocese is charging admission to the graveyard, and that you have to be on a organized tour. Now, this is a result of a couple of things. A few years back, muggers used to hang out.
In this
graveyard, because New Orleans is below sea level, so you cannot dig graves. Everything is a crypt that's above, and they're very packed close together. And guys would hang out behind some crypt and jump out and and, you know, get people. But more recently, it's been a lot of desecrations. They, in 2013, December 2013, a bunch of people came into the cemetery and went to the tomb of the voodoo queen, Marie Laveau, and painted it pink.
No.
And so they had to spend over $10,000 to get rid of that.
My goodness.
And so now they're going to be charging, and you have to go with a tour. They have haunted tours of this graveyard. So the Archdiocese is all cool with that. They just need money to keep this place up.
Okay, we have time for one more.
One more, close to home, Hollywood Forever. We've talked about it a lot of times. This was originally graveyard for the folks who were rich in L.A., and as L.A. went west, it became the graveyard for Hollywood because it backs right onto the Paramount Studios lot. So you've got Valentino, you've got Douglas Fairbanks, you've got Cecil B. DeMille, you've got Mel Blanc. But the owners, the old owners were like stealing money from people and not putting it back in the graveyard, so that when Mama Cass Elliot died in 1974 and they were cremating her body, the bricks of the oven fell in on top. And so it got closed down for about 20 years.
Health department said that's enough of that.
Yeah. And the owners finally died, and it was resold in 1998. And the new owners fixed it up and have really made it a great spot. But they also know that to get people to that part of town, they have to make it into an attraction. So there's movies.
Yeah, my daughter's been to one of those, or two. Yeah,
and concerts. Lana Del Rey played there recently. And it's also started to attract a new group of celebrities. Dee Dee Ramone of the Ramones is buried there. Mm-hmm. And there's a famous statue of Johnny Ramone. Now, Johnny Ramone is dead. People think Johnny Ramone's, you know, underneath there. But actually, his wife still has his ashes.
Yeah.
And the understanding is that when she dies, she'll be cremated. They'll mingle the ashes and put it into the grave.
I'm told the high school kids like to go there to lose their virginity.
I wouldn't doubt it, because there's a lot of territory to cover there, and a lot of places you can hide out.
Yeah.
The crematorium, by the way, has been fixed, and it was where George Harrison was cremated. It's got a Jewish area. It's got a Hindu area. It's got something for everybody. So, for example, Mel Blanc, who was Jewish and did all the voices for
Bugs Bunny and all the others, yeah. Warner Brothers.
Go see his grave, and people put stones in the Jewish tradition on top of it. Very great place to see, and it's only like, I think, 78.
Go visit at night on Halloween and see what happens. See if you come out alive.
And this is a place where they don't, you know, Halloween, they're all for it.
Gary Warner, have a spooky Halloween, and we'll talk to you on the other side.
I will, the other side.
All right, there he goes. Hey, it's the tail end of Oktoberfest in America. Germany ended theirs weeks ago, but one beer garden not far from our studio is all set to put a cork in their season with a mashup of Oktoberfest and Halloween. Wait till you hear all about October Beast with Festmeister Hans right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. One quick graveyard story for you. When I was in college in my film class with a couple of buddies, we took our 16-millimeter cameras. I think that's what they were. They might have just been 8-millimeter cameras, not sure. To a local graveyard, and we filmed as black and white, as grainy as we possibly could, headstones, all of which had at least the first name of every student in our class. And then we set it to the Blue Oyster Cult song, Don't Fear the Reaper. And we played it for the class, and it took about a minute or so before everybody started noticing that it was their names up on the screen, and there was outrage. absolute outrage. The teacher loved it. We even found the teacher's name. But, yeah, so it almost came to blows. One guy stood up and thought that we desecrated his family name by showing his...
That's not funny, man.
Yeah. No, it was ugly for a while, but it was good. Good art. Good film. Hey, we love beer on this program. It's a fact. We do. Now, Halloween falls on a Saturday, so if you want to get one last Oktoberfest party in, but you need to stay in the Halloween spirit, we have just the thing for you. Joining us live now from Alpine Village in Torrance, California, Festmeister Hans.
Guten Tag. Hello, everybody.
It's been a year since we've spoken to you, sir. I think maybe even two, but it's always a pleasure when you're here because we're talking about good times. And tell us about this mashup of Halloween and Oktoberfest you've put together there at Alpine Village.
Yeah, well, we call it October Beast. And the idea is, you know, we love having Oktoberfest so much. And unfortunately, at the very end of the month, October runs right up smack dab into Halloween. And so we decided this year, though, and actually over the last couple of years, but especially this year because Saturday is, in fact, Halloween itself, we decided to integrate the two concepts together into a celebration of all things Oktoberfest and all things Halloween. And
so there will be beer and there will be costumes, right?
Uh-huh, exactly. We still have a 15-piece German band that is flown all the way from Germany to play with us. We have all sorts of fun games on stage, but we also have additional games like a costume contest. There's going to be a scavenger hunt inside the tent, as well as a lot of really cool new decorations, and also a Thriller flash mob up on stage where people are going to be invited up to dance, doing the Thriller zombie dance from the Michael Jackson video. And so,
good.
A lot of really fun stuff.
Creative uses of sausage, I imagine.
Yeah, well, that's up to the individual user to decide.
Yeah, you know, you can split those sausages open if you're the zombie costume, and the inside of sausage looks kind of realistic,
close to
like
that.
Rotting flesh, doesn't it?
I think that's a good concept there.
Yeah.
We'll have to see if anybody goes with that this time around.
So did you mention contests and prizes and that sort of thing?
Yeah, for sure. So we always do, we have a Stein hoisting contest where you have to hold up a Stein of beer. Well, in this case, a Stein of water because we don't want anyone to waste the beer when they drop it.
Yeah.
At arm's length for as long as you can.
And do you find the more beer you drink, the stronger that German accent on the word Stein comes out?
Definitely. I feel like you really should pronounce it properly if you're going to pronounce it. You know, that goes for all of the German words that we say at Oktoberfest.
Okay. So if you win the Stein raising contest, what kind of prizes are up for grabs?
Well, we got some fun stuff. I mean, the person who actually gets eliminated first, we give them a little rubber chicken because they're a little rubber chicken themselves for not being able to make it that long.
Chicken dance.
Exactly. But the winner actually gets a beer stein for the 2015 Oktoberfest beer stein, the official one that we sell at the tent for them to train with during the off season.
Oh, all right. Will there be kids around?
On these two events, they will not be kids.
Oh, good, because they're so annoying.
Yes, well, there's a lot of tricks and adult treats, let's put it that way.
Oh, any scary stuff outside of that Thriller zombie dance?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably less straight-up scary and more just spooky. And it's for us, it's just a great excuse for people who weren't able to get to Oktoberfest earlier to come on down, wear your costume, where everybody's going to be dressed in either lederhosen or some crazy Halloween costume. We did this last year, and it was hilarious because we had people that were doing mashups of costumes as well, where they would throw the lederhosen on top of a Wolfman costume or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it was really, really fun.
Well, you have the booth with the traditional striking of the sausage to the buttocks contest.
Yes, exactly. That's what you get when you lose the Steinholding competition.
Now, is this an event where you have to get your reservation in advance? Is it sold out, or can you just walk in?
No, I mean, I think we always suggest that people buy tickets online, and they can get their tickets at alpinevillagecenter.com. That's alpinevillagecenter.com.
Yeah.
And look up tickets for the event. We always suggest people get the tickets in advance because a lot of the times there is a line, and if you bought your advance tickets, you can skip the line of ticket purchasing, which shaves off a lot of time, especially if you're showing up there around 8 or 9 o'clock. If you show up earlier than about 8, you probably won't have any problem with
it. Okay. And this, again, this is in Torrance, California, so if you're more than maybe 50 miles away, don't bother.
Yeah. Well, Well, yeah. I mean, we had some people that came all the way from Phoenix. So, I mean,
whoa.
I'm not going to define what you want to do if you want to come to the best Oktoberfest on the West Coast.
It sure speaks to how the Halloween celebration in Phoenix sucks.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm not sure about that one, but I know that they had a great time at our Oktoberfest, that's for sure.
All right, very good. Festmeister Hans, thank you for being on the program. Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
There he goes. All right. So, very good. Goodness gracious. I had a couple more things that I wanted to talk about, and I just can't remember what they are.
It's a genius mashup, Oktoberfest and Halloween.
Isn't it? Yeah. What are you going to do for Halloween, by the way?
No, I won't be doing anything.
No?
Personally. No. When is Halloween? Is it Friday?
No, it's Saturday.
Saturday?
Did we not say that a bunch of times already?
Must have went over my head.
Yeah, that's
what I think of Halloween anyway. There was a time when I would get dressed up and go to parties and stuff like that, but now it seems a little like maybe I'm a little bit too old for that.
Yeah. Well, Christmas is coming up too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't know if that's on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. I'm not absolutely sure. But there's a 7-year-old kid named Evan. He lives in a small town outside of Toronto. And he was sadly diagnosed with brain cancer right before his second birthday. Sadly, his doctors don't think he's going to live very much longer. They even told his mom that Evan might want to celebrate Christmas early this year. So the family decided to do that. Then his cousins decided to see if anyone else wanted to help and started handing out flyers around town. And then it turned out a lot of people did want to help. So over the past week, hundreds of people have put up their Christmas decorations early. Complete strangers have been dropping off presents for Evan. One group showed up at his front door singing Christmas carols. Then last Saturday, the town held a parade with 25 different floats, and Evan got to ride on the one with Santa. Only about 3,000 people live in Evanstown, but 7,000 people showed up for the parade. They even brought in machines to make snow. How about that?
That's great.
Evan's mom says she's amazed at how big the whole thing got and that it's been a great week. One of his cousins also set up a GoFundMe page to raise $1,500 for them. And as of last week, they've already surpassed $5,000. So
it's beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Isn't that nice? Remember earlier in the program we were talking about how we assume the worst in people?
And that yet we have stories like that that show that we can assume the best in people and get that as well.
Yes. Okay. So from this point forward, this very point forward, I will start assuming the best in you, Chris.
Okay. Good luck with that one.
I apologize.
I will prove you wrong time and time again.
The previous times. All right. That'll do it for today's program. Thanks again for listening, and we cherish your comments. We have a contact page at philhewlettandfriends.com where you can fill in the form, and we'll see your comments. We also have a Twitter page. Follow us there, at Pfaff Show, P-H-A-F Show. We're on Facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. If you listen to us on iTunes, please leave a comment and a review. Thanks. Leave us a voicemail on the website. Look for the blue tab. It's free. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who is out shopping for his Halloween costume, but chances are he won't find his size. Hey, for Chris and all the friends, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and not back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.